Chapter 4. The First Match. The Chancellor always felt most relaxed in his mountain retreat in Berchtesgaden, not far from the Austrian border. "It is truly a wonder of modern science," one of his guests commented, "that we can hear the New York fight all the way here in Germany." The radio crackled as the two fighters were introduced to the crowd. A simultaneous translation was provided in German. Everybody in the room was hoping for a schmelling victory. The Chancellor was very talkative that night. He told his guests how he had recently met Schmeling and his wife. "She was very charming," he said. "I'll send her flowers whether her husband wins or loses." Mr. Schmeling seemed quite confident that he could beat the Negro. "I hope he wins, but I'm a realist." "You could never have become the Chancellor of the Third Reich without realism, my Führer," replied the guest. Adolf Hitler smiled and took another sip of his tea. He enjoyed compliments, especially when they were correct, and now he and his guests were ready to listen to the fight. It was hot in Harlem, New York, that night of the 19th of June 1936. Few Afro-Americans had tickets to see their hero Joe Louis fight. But nobody was going to miss the fight, even those families without a radio. More than 200 poor Americans crowded into the local drugstore to share one radio. The night was hot, and they drank cold tea and fanned themselves with newspapers. Things began in a similar way to most of Joe Louis's fights. It was relatively quiet, with Joe jabbing at Schmeling and winning the first two rounds. "That guy knows how to hit," Schmeling said to his trainer, Max Machon. Schmeling tried to wink with his swollen eye. He was optimistic, because he still had a secret plan. In the Harlem drugstore, the men smiled with every one of Joe's punches. Young boys punched the air, imagining that they, too, were hitting Max Schmeling. Then, in the third round, things began to change, as Max revealed his secret. It was a weapon he had told few people about. While everybody had been speaking enthusiastically about the brown bomber and calling him indestructible, Max had found some films of Joe's recent fights. He had watched them carefully and slowed the projector. There it was. He had noticed a weakness in Joe's boxing. Although Joe had an extremely powerful left punch, he often forgot to raise his hand after he had thrown the punch. This would leave him open to a surprise right punch. That was why Max had been in such a hurry to fight Joe. He knew that someone else would eventually notice this weakness in Lewis's style, and Schmeling wanted to be the first to exploit it. Just as he had planned, Joe threw a punch and Max came back with a sudden powerful right. This confused Joe and knocked his head back. The crowd roared, and Blackburn tried to shout over them, "For God's sake, keep your hands up, man!" They both knew something was going wrong. In the fourth round, Max continued with his tactic. He threw a fantastic right, and Joe almost fell. After a second right punch, Joe found himself on the floor for the first time in his professional career. Joe was not used to being there, and he got up too quickly. "Stay down," shouted Blackburn. "Wait for the referee to count to 8. Although Joe recovered well, Schmeling knew his plan was working. He had done what no other boxer had done, and now he knew that he could really hurt Lewis. By the sixth round, Max was in control. Joe kept fighting, throwing punches, but he was losing. His mother did not wish to see her son getting beaten up, and she left the stadium. In round 7, 8, and 9, it seemed that Joe was improving, and the kids in the Harlem drugstore cheered again, but many of the old men understood that this was just an illusion. By rounds 10 and 11, Max was beating him again with his right. On the other side of the Atlantic, there was cheering all over Germany as people turned up the volume on their radios. Every time he heard a punch, the Führer hit his own thigh in satisfaction. Joe was showing great ability to survive, but by the 12th round, it was all over. Max knocked Joe to the floor again, and this time he was unable to get up. The German jumped in the air in excitement and then went over to his defeated opponent and helped Blackburn drag him back to his corner. Max Schmeling was declared the winner. He was sure he'd be given his chance now against the world champion Braddock, and that would be the next challenge. In Berlin, Joseph Goebbels, the Nazi minister of propaganda, opened a bottle of champagne and poured the first glass for his guest. "Congratulations, Frau Schmeling. Your husband has achieved a great victory for Germany.